This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if the future of entertainment isn't something you sit back and watch, but something you step inside and experience? From virtual reality worlds to immersive art installations, escape rooms, and even AI-driven attractions, the way we experience entertainment is changing faster than ever. Today we're talking with futurist and author Michael Mascioni, who's been tracking this evolution for years. In his new book, Expanding the Immersive Landscape and Leisure Facilities, he reveals how technology like VR, mixed reality, drones, even haptic feedback are transforming everything from theme parks to museums and creating entirely new kinds of experiences. We talk about it next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if entertainment wasn't something you watched, but something you lived? In this fascinating episode of This Week in America, we explore the rapidly evolving world of immersive entertainment with futurist, conference planner, and author Michael Mascioni, whose book, Expanding the Immersive Landscape and Leisure Facilities, dives deep into how technology is transforming the way we experience fun, storytelling, and social interaction. From virtual and mixed reality to escape rooms, immersive theater, and interactive art installations, the line between physical and digital worlds is disappearing. Michael explains how AI, drones, haptic technology, and projection mapping are reshaping amusement parks, museums, cruise ships, even entirely new immersive districts around the globe. How entertainment is shifting from passive viewing to active participation. If you've ever wondered where entertainment is headed, well, this conversation is for you. And Michael Mascioni is our guest on This Week in America. Michael, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Nice to be with you.
What a great topic and something we all experience, how rapidly everything is changing. What was it about the changing technology that led you to write Expanding the Immersive Landscape and Leisure Facilities? Why this book? Why now?
Yeah, so basically it was due to my perception of a confluence of a lot of trends that have been underway for a while, and it sort of was a point where a lot of these trends were crystallizing from a creative, technical, marketing, and distribution point of view. And basically the book really focuses on immersive experiences in leisure facilities, So that includes amusement parks, museums, location-based entertainment centers, video arcades, etc. And I cover a whole range of different immersive technologies, some of them lower tech, others higher tech. And I think the whole point of the book is to focus on how this whole field has expanded and grown, and also how the infrastructure for immersive location-based entertainment using new technologies like VR and AR has expanded and accommodated newer and more different forms of immersive entertainment. So it's a kind of a watershed moment, I think, in the history of immersive location-based entertainment. And a lot of the problems that occurred before, whether technical or creative or whatever, are starting to be worked out. So this is not to say that this is an entirely mature market, but it's growing at a more rapid pace, and it's basically solidifying because of, again, the confluence of a lot of these different elements. I've been covering immersive entertainment for a long time,
yes,
both in the home and in the out-of-home area, so it's something I've been tracking for a while. As you mentioned, I'm a futurist. I track a lot of different trends, including trends in the leisure area, so I just thought it was an important and interesting point to try to examine the state of the market and where it's going.
We can tell how it's changing by the terms you're using, and we're thinking, okay, now what does that exactly mean? We're going to go through all the different topics as we talk with Michael on the program today. His book is available, of course, at Amazon, other books he's written, and we will talk about those as well. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can click on, go directly to Michael's page on Amazon and get information, order the book, and the book's there as well. You discuss in the book the increasingly fusion that we have now of physical, virtual, immersive experiences in leisure facilities. Talk a little bit about that, and can you give us some examples?
Yeah, so that's a kind of a trend that has been underway for a while, but it's accelerated. And when I mean physical, I mean without the use of visual technology, is just kind of straight. For example, an escape game where you're solving puzzles without any new technology, that would be a form of sort of lower tech form or physical form of immersive entertainment in the out-of-home market. And then virtual would include all kinds of different technologies, whether it's 3D projection mapping that uses audiovisual technologies, VR, AR, etc. So those are converging more now, and partly because of the arrival of new forms of new software forms and new technologies that underlie the combination of these different technologies, and because I think there's a realization that people don't just want to look at their mobile phones all the time. They want to interact in a social vein, in sort of a direct physical sense, and there are many more opportunities to do that. So that's a very major trend right now in the immersive location-based entertainment market, the combination of those. And that's designed to increase interest, increase social interaction in this whole market. And, I mean, there are plenty of examples of that happening. One example is, War of the Worlds. There was a basically a new production of it, an immersive production of it done in London, and it combined basically the ability to interact with actors with a lot of new audiovisual techniques, including VR, 3D visual experiences through VR, AR,
yes,
and 3D projection technologies. That's just one example. There's just so many of them because there's greater appeal when you add the physical element, and that's also, an element that's been well established because that form of immersiveness has existed for practically all time. And the other aspect of it, I think, is that it increases, it sort of presents a multi-dimensional form of immersive entertainment that doesn't just rely on technology and appeals to different audiences, including audiences that are not as technologically sophisticated.
Well, I'd fall into that category. I'm fascinated by what they're able to do in dragging us along into this new world. It's sort of redefining what going out means. All of the entertainment activities now, that experiences that we will have. Our guest is Michael Mascioni, and that's Mascioni. This book is Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. A key trend that you mentioned.
Can I just go back to that previous question?
Yes.
And you know, kind of complete my answer by saying that by combining the physical and virtual experiences, you're enhancing the experiences, and you're basically enlarging it and deepening the experiences, and it offers more different options so that you don't have to just rely on technology. And I think that that's a wise move, because I think technology has been overused in the immersive entertainment market. So in a way, it's establishing a link between the old immersive entertainment market, which was less technologically oriented, and the newer one. So anyway, I just wanted to add those.
Well, that's interesting. Trying to find that balance is what you're saying there. So it's interesting that we have new technology, we're going to use it, and maybe in some cases overuse it. So trying to find that that balance between the two, which leads me to talking about something you mentioned in the book, the rise of hybrid forms of immersive location-based entertainment. Describe them. What are we talking about there?
Yeah, so that is really purely a function of content genres. So, for example, there's an escape game outfit in Austin that basically combines that basically works in the escape game format. You know, sort of the traditional format, solving puzzles and a mission, et cetera, within a certain period of time. But they combine that with regular actors, with live actors. So it's basically combining escape games with immersive theater. That's just kind of one example. But there's so many others where they're combining different forms. Immersive art with immersive theater, that's being increasingly offered in immersive centers. They're just a lot of different examples, different flavors of it. And again, that increases the appeal of these forms. It expands the different options. It appeals to different audiences, and it sort of deepens the experience and makes it more compelling, you know, because you're adding sort of a lot of times live and virtual elements.
Yes.
But even if you're just combining different live elements, again, it sort of expands the experience and enhances it just basically offers different options, like when you're talking about escape games. So it's a lot more common now than it used to be, and that trend will continue into the future.
In what ways has the infrastructure expanded to accommodate the immersive location-based entertainment? Has that expanded as well?
It's expanded in many different ways, from a technical point of view, from a creative point of view, and a distribution point of view. Distribution is a huge problem and challenge in immersive entertainment. One of the examples I give is basically a theater company in North Carolina that is trying to establish a stronger network of immersive theaters. You're basically starting a new industry, a new platform, to distribute plays to different theaters that are focused more on that genre. So they basically work together with theater producers specializing in this form in the U.S. and abroad, in Canada, in the U.K., et cetera. So it's like building a whole new industry. That's just in terms of immersive theater. Then there's the issue of, let's say, the VR area. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done to strengthen that infrastructure. So, for example, there's one company in Canada that has established basically sort of a multimedia or immersive visual arts center called EXP Rosemont in the suburbs of Chicago. And they basically promote and develop new forms of immersive virtual arts programming. That's a whole area that needs to be kind of developed further and promoted further. So that's kind of another form of distribution. In terms of the technical stuff, there's all sorts of new forms of software that allow for multi-user interaction with immersive experiences. So there are a lot of new elements on that end. And just also the development of new immersive entertainment centers such as Area 15, or expansion in that case, in that particular case, the expansion of their immersive experience entertainment centers. So it's a widespread kind of multi-layered expansion, and it's badly needed with respect to VR and arts, immersive AR and VR programming. So it's a major trend underway.
You mentioned several times social interaction. It seems like it's become increasingly important in immersive location-based entertainment. What key trends do you see in this area? Where is this going?
Well, some of them are basically, some of them are geared to team-oriented games. They have, like, for example, the Squid Game experience, which was based on the television show. They basically utilized or harnessed a lot of more simple forms of challenges like tug of war and things of that sort. So there are a lot of sort of team exercises, team games, and they have other things like immersive dart games and other things of that sort to increase the level of social participation. And the challenges and the fun and that sort of thing. Because one of the big attractions for people to go to leisure facilities is to meet other people, to interact.
Yes.
And again, to do it in a more, sort of normal physical way rather than just a virtual way, just being on screen. So these activities, enable more social interaction inherently and greater participation. And some would argue greater satisfaction with the whole experience rather than just screen-based games. So that's a big shift. The big shift from just computer screen-based games to games that incorporate physical elements. And that's part of the whole process of fostering more social interaction, to perform missions, on different levels, whether it's using simpler technology or more advanced technology. So there are a lot more experiences like that, and there's greater popularity. There's a big attraction for this, social interaction, socially interactive experiences. Immersive experiences are attracting more younger people, and that includes even things like escape games, because you're performing a mission and you're collaborating on solving puzzles. So it occurs across different ends of the spectrum. The lower interactive, I would characterize it, or higher interactive experiences. It occurs on different aspects of the spectrum.
More with futurist and author Michael Mascioni next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best Bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
And now more with our guest on This Week in America, Michael Mascioni, author of Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. You see, the physical aspect of that really has come to the forefront. Physical immersion has become a greater factor in immersive location-based entertainment. What are some examples of that?
Yeah, so there are a number of different types of physical forms of entertainment. I would give you just one kind of quick example of sort of a physical form of interaction or physical form of immersion. Basically, there was an amusement park ride that occurred underground. It's a dark ride, and people carry lights or torches. So that's a physical element. That's not a computer screen. It's not a virtual experience.
Yes.
It's an actual light. That's just one facet of the ride, but that is a purely physical experience. But in terms of other examples, there's a game company. There are a couple of different game companies that specialize in physical games, not just as, parts of the experience, but basically as the focus of the experience. They have a place in Las Vegas called Playground, and they just feature a whole range of forms of physical games. There's, in addition, another company that basically they offer large-scale physical games, bigger than life. So it's almost like video games, but transformed into a physical capacity, in a physical context and on a larger level. And sometimes they combine, more mental games like puzzles, et cetera. But some of these attractions just focus primarily or exclusively on physical games.
It's interesting, as you read the book and as you listen to Michael talk, you get the impression we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg here. This is something that's going, it's evolving even as we speak, transformations in the field of immersive leisure facilities. What new forms of immersive location-based entertainment do you think will become more significant, we'll hear more about, over the next 3 to 5 years? What's on the immediate horizon?
Yeah, so I would cite two technologies that I think will play a very big role. They started to play a role in immersive location-based entertainment, but they're going to play a much larger role, would be AI and drones. So again, they've been used to some extent in the leisure market currently, but it's going to expand considerably. If you take like the use of drones, those have been used for light shows and games in amusement parks like, Walt Disney and other parks for special light shows. Some of them could be holiday themed, like Halloween or you know, other types of holidays. And, you know, again, drone games have been used increasingly in those markets, but that's going to expand considerably. And these technologies, by the way, it's not that they're just going to be used independently. They'll be used with each other. There could be drone games that incorporate AI, for example. So there'll be a lot greater use for those, or they could be used as part of an overall attraction. So they may be one component of an experience with other things, with simulator rides or other kinds of attractions. So, you know, again, it's like the mix will be greater. I think that's the main point that I'm getting at regarding all of these things. What you can see is that it's expanding. This whole market is expanding in terms of content, in terms of technology, and there'll be a greater mixture of these technologies and a greater mixture of the content forms. That goes back to what we talked about before, hybrid programs that combine, you know, like comedy and music, or the escape games and immersive theater, or immersive art and immersive theater. That will be an overall trend, and that will be a boon for the use of these new technologies like drones and AI.
It's interesting with AI. I get the impression we just have sort of looking at the beginning of the AI era. Is that the way you see it in terms of immersive leisure activities, that they're just beginning to find out what they can do with this? It seems like the potential would be almost unlimited.
It is the potential is huge, and we are at relatively, it's not like the very beginning, but it's close to it.
Yes.
You know, for example, AI is being used in different museums. There was a project called Artcade in Belgium where people were able to use AI tools to co-create art. So you can imagine there are a lot more possibilities for, you know, co-creation of of attractions or parts of attractions using AI in the future. Then there's a museum that's based in L.A. that is, you know, basically like using AI for digital art, you know, exclusively. And that creates, I mean, basically you're personalizing attractions and you're increasing the options by using AI, whether it's in a museum or amusement park, et cetera. So that will expand greatly, that's for sure.
The book is Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. Michael Mascioni is our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon along with his other books, and we'll mention those here in a second as we continue our conversation. Time going by so quickly, I want to ask you about new venues that may be opening up for immersive art. What are some of the new venues that we can look for that are on the verge of opening or in the planning stages?
Well, some of the new forms have already opened. Meow Wolf, which is a developer of immersive art attractions and centers, basically they already were, you know, expanding the use of immersive art when they introduced this immersive art ride called Kaleidoscape. And basically people would take like an immersive ride, but they would pass through, unlike a typical immersive ride, they would pass through areas where there's art, and the art would include found objects. And that was opened in Denver, you know, like, I believe, about 6 years ago.
I love your perspective as a futurist. Would love to continue our conversation. So much more to talk about. A fascinating book. The topic of today's program, Expanding the Immersive Landscape in Leisure Facilities. Michael Mascioni is our guest on the program. Again, the book is available wherever books are sold. Michael, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. I love the enthusiasm you have for what we're all about to enjoy in the future, as this really is an emerging area. Thank you for being with us and sharing it on the program. You're listening to This Week in America. You can listen to us on 28 podcast platforms, including Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and more. Available on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and beyond. And don't forget while you're there to like, comment, and subscribe for more inspiring conversations on This Week in America.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America.